RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia needs to improve cooperation of ASEAN. Indonesian government expecting Indonesian people to support the Defense State Program. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received World Bank Executive Directors. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government needs to enhance some cooperation with ASEAN member countries and dialogue partners countries of ASEAN, especially with the East Asian countries related to the benefits that will be received by Indonesian people from the cooperation. Director of ASEAN Dialogue Partners and Inter-Region of Foreign Affairs Ministry, Dery Aman, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the improvement of cooperation of 9 ASEAN member countries and 18 member states of East Asian Summit needs to be carried out to find out the real impact of benefits for the nation and the people of Indonesia.
Dan untuk kedepannya, apakah hal-hal yang perlu disempurnakan?
For the future, where the things that need to be enhanced in the context particularly for Indonesia is how to make this ASEAN cooperation, even the ASEAN 10 or ASEAN Plus 10, ASEAN Plus 3, and East Asian Summit with ASEAN consistent 18 countries. It is beneficial for Indonesia that any concrete result, are there any concrete, I should say, that could be held and be felt by Indonesian economy? Certainly it can be felt by Indonesian people. Furthermore, Dery Aman said Indonesian President Joko Widodo plans to attend the ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on 21st and 22nd November 2015. According to Dery Aman, President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to attend the 10th Summit in Malaysia, including the meeting with ASEAN leaders and the ASEAN Business Council, as well as the meeting with leaders of ASEAN Plus 3, namely China, South Korea, and Japan. A meeting with East Asian Business Council. Besides, President Joko Widodo will also attend several other events on the sidelines of the ASEAN Summit that are still optional, among others Global Investor Dialogue, Business and Investment Meeting of ASEAN, and the Business Award, as you say, ASEAN Business Award 2015. Dery Aman added, during a meeting with ASEAN leaders, President Joko Widodo will deliver a range of issues, among others about the importance of unity and centrality of ASEAN, the establishment of ASEAN Community Vision 2025, maritime cooperation, illegal migrants, and the transboundary haze that has been crossing to some Southeast Asian countries. Indonesian people are expected to support the state defense program being carried out by the government. The program is meant to increase the nationalism and discipline of the people. It is expected to have more participants every year. This was stated by Director of Defense State of General Directorate of Defense Potensi of Indonesian Defense Ministry, Vice Admiral and Faisal to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Thursday. We call on all the people of Indonesia to support this program. The participants who joined the ongoing program have high enthusiasm. It has run for 2 up to 3 weeks. It can give much change for their life, such as discipline, mental, and their care for the environment. The government holds the program in 45 regions, then there are 100 participants in each region to do the activities. They come from other regions. It is expected that from 540 regions across Indonesia have coached cadres of state defense in 2016. They can start to train the young cadres for 3 up to 5 days. The government expects that the participants will be more and more. Moreover, Director of Defense State, First Admiral and Faisal Asad said Defense State program that is currently being carried out is to produce coach cadres. They come from the educational background as teachers from elementary school up to university, public figures from many communities and various professions. They are expected to be the coaches to train new generation of Defense State program in their districts. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received several executive directors of the World Bank on Tuesday to discuss a loan offer to alleviate poverty. World Bank Executive Director for Germany, Ursula Müller, said at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday that she appreciated the chance to hold discussion with Vice President Yusuf Kalla about the challenges and opportunities for Indonesia, continuing its cooperation with the World Bank. During the meeting, Ursula was accompanied by a number of World Bank officials, including World Bank Executive Director for United States, Matthew, World Bank Executive Director for Venezuela, Jose Rogers, and World Bank Executive Director for South Korea and Australia, Song Song Ng. Previously, Ursula had met with Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro and National Development Planning Minister Sofian Jalil to offer support for Indonesia. According to her, Indonesia has halved its property rate in the past decade. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said while visiting the Tanah Abang market in central Jakarta with President Joko Widodo that Australia welcomes Indonesian plan to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership TPP. Prime Minister Malcolm said that he had heard about President Joko Widodo's visit to Washington and Indonesian plan to join the TPP. President Joko Widodo discussed with Prime Minister Turnbull a number of bilateral, regional and multilateral issues during a meeting held on Thursday. He also said that given the geographical proximity of the two countries as well as intensity of relations between the two countries, it would certainly increase the potential for friction between the two. And in view of this, he appraised the Australian Prime Minister's visit to Indonesia as part of efforts to boost bilateral relations between the two countries. The Indonesian Ulama Council MUI ended its 3-day National Working Congress on Tuesday in Jakarta by urging President Joko Widodo to fulfill his campaign pledge made towards the struggle of Palestinians. Chairman of the MUI team for formulating main idea external recommendation, Romli said on Tuesday that one of the points to meet the pledge is that the government should immediately open a representative office in Gaza, Palestine. Furthermore, MUI also denounced the Jewish Zionists for any form of misdeeds, including occupying Palestinian land, launching aggression, and evicting and killing Palestinian people. In its recommendation, MUI called for stronger international cooperation to settle the question of Palestine. Romli added that MUI also urged the government to adopt an initiative to settle humanitarian conflict involving Rohingya ethnic group. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli said on Thursday that Indonesia wants to be treated fairly by foreign investors, including mining company Freeport McMoRan Incorporation, with regards to the exploitation of its natural resources. Minister Rizal Ramli, who also handles the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, made the statement during a meeting with U.S. business executives, including from Freeport McMoRan Incorporation Group at the U.S. ASEAN Business Council. Furthermore, Minister Rizal Ramli also encouraged the company to improve its business practices in Indonesia, asking the company to increase the royalty paid to the Indonesian government, install a waste management system to prevent environmental pollution, divest and carry out development of the downstream industry by building a smelter in Indonesia. Indonesian Naval Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi received his Chinese counterpart, Admiral Wu Sengli, who came to pay a courtesy call at the Navy headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta on Thursday. Admiral Wu was officially welcomed during a military ceremony by Admiral Ade upon his arrival at the Navy headquarters. The call was part of Admiral Wu's visit to receive the Jalasna Utama Honorary Medal pinned by Indonesian Defense Forces Commander General Gatot Nurmantio at the TN headquarters in Cilangkap. The medal was awarded for the good cooperation and relation that have developed between the governments of Indonesia and China so far, especially for the progress and improvement in military relations between the two countries. Admiral Ade on the occasion expressed gratitude to the Chinese Navy for having actively sent delegations to various events organized by Indonesian Navy and hopes for the increased cooperation between the two countries' navies. Admiral Wu expressed thanks for the warm welcome and commended the good cooperation that had been developed so far between the two countries' navies. The last item, Indonesian government will build two dams in West Java as part of its efforts to control floods in Jakarta. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyo stated on Tuesday that the two dams called Sukamahi and Ciawi will be built in 2016. Minister Basuki revealed that the government is in the process of clearing land to build the dams, saying that flooding is a problem that recurs every rainy season. Minister Basuki explained that if the dams are built in the upper reaches of the river, the flow of water can be diverted to the dam during the rainy season, and the water will not entirely flow into Jakarta. Minister Basuki further stated that the government will also build low-cost flats in Pasar Minggu and Pasar Rumput, South Jakarta, to meet the demands of the people belonging to the low-income group. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Visit of Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to Indonesia. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull visited Indonesia for talks with Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Indonesia became the first country visited by the 29th Prime Minister of Australia. In one-day visit, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull with President Joko Widodo did blusukan to textile center in Tanah Abang Market in central Jakarta. Agenda to visit the largest textile center in Southeast Asia was proposed by Australian side. To the media, President Joko Widodo said that he received the request of doing blusukan and wanted to show that Indonesia has the largest textile market in Southeast Asia. Another reason was to introduce the new Australian Prime Minister to the people of Indonesia, and at the same time it shows the world that Indonesia and Australia are friendly nations. Indonesia's relationship with the country of Kangaroo underwent ups and downs because Tony Abbott, who was replaced by Malcolm Turnbull, refused the execution of Muran Sukumaran and Andrew Chant, two Australian citizens who were sentenced to death for drug cases. Even Tony Abbott threatened to withdraw his ambassador from Indonesia if the death penalty was implemented. However, Indonesia kept executing the death penalty. Since Prime Minister Malcolm's plan to visit Indonesia was published, many people in Australia perceived that the visit was to improve relations between Indonesia and Australia, which was strained due to various problems such as the death penalty and taping case. There were three main issues discussed by President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, namely trade, investment, and tourism. In addition, the digital economy was also discussed, as Indonesia has the potential for it. Indonesia invites Australian investors to invest in this field. Quoted the statement of President Joko Widodo, in the Baltra field, geographical position of the two countries are very close, and the intensity of the relationship is getting more. Of course, this will trigger possible friction between the two countries. President Joko Widodo appreciates the coming of Australian Prime Minister to Indonesia, which is seen as an effort to boost bilateral relations. Indonesia and Australia should strengthen their relationship based on mutual understanding and respect. Expectation is anchored to Malcolm Turnbull. Despite coming from the same party to his predecessor, Malcolm Turnbull's approach, which is different from Tony Abbott, is expected to improve relations with Indonesia. by doing belusukan to Tanah Abang and directly looking at traders in Tanah Abang, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm can improve relationship more favorably in the future. Furthermore, the relationship between the governments of Indonesia and Australia could again become intimate. It is expected that there is nothing to be easily disturbed. Australian Prime Minister appreciated the warmth of Indonesian people and President Joko Widodo, as he has written in his Twitter account. Prime Minister Malcolm thanks to President Joko Widodo and the people of Indonesia who have warmly welcomed him. Thus, the relationship between Indonesia and Australia are expected to be closer and closer in the future. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event on November 13, 1970. Bola cyclone killed 500,000 in East Pakistan. Bola cyclone 1970 was a deadly tropical cyclone hitting East Pakistan, or now Bangladesh, and West Bengal, India, on November 13, 1970. This was the deadliest tropical cyclone. More than 500,000 died in this incident. This was the sixth cyclone of the cyclone season in the North Indian Ocean during 1970. This was the first cyclone to cause a civil war, which is the Bangladesh Independence War, ended with the emergence of Bangladesh as a country. We move on to the 1985. Nevado del Ruiz volcano killed 23,000. Nevado del Ruiz is a stratovolcano at the northernmost part of Andes volcanic belt, 15 miles from the southeast of the Manizales, with Armero City in a hill near it in Colombia. This is the highest and the northernmost volcano in Colombia. In 1985, its eruption produced the lava that buried the city and killed 23,000 people. The tragedy is called Armero Tragedy. Nevado del Ruiz is then called by the local people as the Sleeping Lion. We end the days in history with an event in 1998, the Semanggi tragedy occurred. On November 1998, Indonesian Transition Government held a special plenary to decide the next election and discuss the governmental agenda to hold next. The student protested again, for they do not recognize the government of B.J. Habibie as the president and believe the member of the New Orders House of Representatives and the People's Consultative Assembly. They also demanded to erase the military from the politics and the new order people from the government at all. People and students rejected the 1998 special plenary and the double function of the army. On November 13, 1998, the students and the people had gathered in Semanggi and around, merging with the students in Atmajaya University, Jakarta. Steel vehicles tried to disband the people, but due to the resistance, the apparatus shot many people. The incident took the life of 17 people, 6 university students, 2 high school students, 2 policies, 1 supermarket security, 4 Pamsuakarsa people, and 3 civilians. Meanwhile, 556 others was injured. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, RRI will serve purpose of Indonesia with today's focus entitled U.S. Entrepreneurs Appreciate the Improvement of Investment Climate in Indonesia. So stay tuned. Indonesian government realizes that doing business in Indonesia is still not easy as in other countries. Therefore, the government continues to make improvements, including overhauling the investment services, simplification of licensing and publishing of the policies to provide a direct stimulus to investment activities. The Deputy of Development of Investment Climate at Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Para Ratna Dewi Indriani, described in Jakarta on Tuesday that as a follow-up visit of Indonesian President Joko Widodo to the United States some time ago, the U.S. entrepreneurs who are members of the U.S. ASEAN Business Council make a visit to Indonesia, including to the Investment Coordinating Board to acquire direct explanation of policies and improvement of the investment climate in Indonesia. Delegation of the U.S. ASEAN Business Council led by President and CEO U.S. ABG Alexander Feldman brought about 70 people from the leadership of U.S. companies that engage in the information technology sector, oil and gas, food and beverage industry, manufacturing and finance. On Wednesday, 11 of November, he expressed his appreciation to the Investment Coordinating Board for the commitment of the Indonesian government in the improvement of the investment climate. He saw the seriousness of BKPM in the process of policy reforms to create a conducive investment climate. This adds conviction to increase his investment in Indonesia. Furthermore, Alexander said that USABC is aware of the Indonesian government's commitment to increasing employment to achieve the target of 2 million jobs every year. Therefore, it is committed to helping the Indonesian government to realize this. Many American entrepreneurs have expressed interest in expanding their investment in Indonesia, including in eastern Indonesia. The United States is one of the main investors in Indonesia, which over the last 5 years, the investment has grown 23% per year and contributed 6% of the total foreign investment in Indonesia. Five largest sectors of the U.S. investment are mining worth $7.2 billion, trade of $258 million, food industry $167 million, industrial convenience $142 million, and chemicals or pharmaceutical industry $56 million. In relation to this, Farah Ratna Dewi Indriani said BKPM is ready to facilitate U.S. investor ranging from planning to realization of the investment in Indonesia through BKPM representatives in Indonesian Investment Promotion Center in New York, as well as team's marketing officer. She said BKPM hopes that the meetings can obtain input from entrepreneurs relative to the efforts to improve Indonesian investment climate to make it more conducive. Meanwhile, head of the BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, said that BKPM pays special attention to improve the competitiveness of Indonesian investment. One concern of BKPM is to encourage improvement of many indicators to make it easy for doing business. The rank of Indonesian routinely conducted by the World Bank. Based on the World Bank report, Indonesia ranks 109th of 189 countries surveyed on the ease of doing business for small and medium enterprises. The ranking is the result of a survey throughout June 2, 2014 until June 1, 2015 in Jakarta and Surabaya. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Friday, November 13, 2015. We begin with Business Indonesia, which wrote Financial Service Authority or OJK sets 20% until 30% minimum. Financial Services Authority or OJK will set the minimum investment of the insurance and pension fund industries in the government securities for 20 to 30% from the total investment. Jumoli F. Pardede, the Deputy Commissioner for the Non-Banking Finance Industries or IKNB of OJK, said the policy is aimed to maintain long-term stability and the health of the non-banking finance industry's investment. Chairman of Indonesian General Insurance Association or AAUI, Yasril Y. Rashid, saw the policy plan as able to encourage the local investors, in this case is insurance company, to be more interested at the local government bonds or the SBN that is dominated by the foreign investors. but he added the policy implementation is not suitable with the general insurance characteristic with short liability because government bonds has long period or more suitable for the long-term investment, such as life insurance fund management. Listener, we continue with Sindo prosecute social assistance fund bribery in all region. Collaborative corruption practices among the executive and legislative over the social assistance fund of the regional budget or APBD is expected to be occurring in all regions. The law enforcers were asked to investigate all cases and without doubt to prosecute anyone involved in it. Anti-Corruption Study Center of the Law Faculty Gajah Mada University Yogyakarta researcher Hif Zil Alim asserted the conspiracy among the executive and legislative over the regional budget, including the social assistance fund, has been an open secret. These practices occur because both institutions share common interest. Several times ago, the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, named the non-active North Sumatra governor, Gatot Pujo Nugroho, as a suspect of bribery over the Social Assistance Fund case in the Attorney General, bribery to three judges in Medan Civil Court of Justice, and bribery to North Sumatra Regional Legislative Council member on the regional budget and interpersonal right use. At the same time, the Attorney General also named Gatot suspect for the North Sumatra Social Assistance Fund bribery case. The next is Republika, which wrote rice price decreases due to import activities. Rice import by the government worried some farmers. Rice import from the Vietnam even decreased the price of the rice among the farmers. Head of Farmers and Fishermen Society, or KTNA Bandung Regency, West Java, Nono Samba, said there are two ways of providing welfare for the farmers during the import trend. First is by giving subsidy for the farmers in the form of rice buying by the logistic agency or bulog with high price or with the price prior to the import. The second is price to the consumers must stay low, which is a subsidy for the consumer. We continue with Media Indonesia, which wrote simultaneous regional elections still problematic. Simultaneous regional election will be held last in 1 month. However, not all General Election Commission or the KPU in the regions have received phase 2 fund as agreed in the Regional Grant Scheme or NPHD. From 269 regions that held the election, only 102 had received full fund. That was conveyed by KPU Chairman Husni Kamil Manik in a coordination meeting initiated by the Home Affairs Ministry in Jakarta. According to Husni, there were various reasons for the local government to not withdraw with the funds in the 167 regions. However, he asserted the importance of the regional election logistic production in the mountain and island areas to anticipate the long distribution. We continue with Tempo. Petrol scandal, Pertamina investigates insiders. President Director of Pertamina, Dwi Sucipto, said the company is investigating the involvement of any Pertamina official or staff in the Pertamina Energy Trading Limited or Petrol. The investigation is following the forensic audit result of the Pertamina subsidiary in the oil trade. He said to investigate the procurement anomaly, Pertamina took cooperation and legal action. In the corporation action, the company used the audit result to minimize manipulation. Meanwhile, legal action, according to Dwi, was required for Pertamina because Pertamina found an outsider communicating with Petro officials and manipulated the procurement. Listener, we end today's headlines with Kompas, which wrote postponing new package launching. Observation and evaluation must be conducted to see effectiveness and the target to be reached through the economic policy package. The government should not launch another package before the observation and evaluation result is released. Moreover, if the results indicate that the regulation and bureaucratic reformation is not satisfactory. Policy Management and Public Policy Professor of Gajah Mada University Agus Duyanto said the economic policy package must be ensured to be implemented. In the not conducive condition in Indonesia and global, the government is demanded to take innovation and to optimize the policy package. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here, news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian government needs to enhance some cooperation with ASEAN member countries and dialogue partners countries of ASEAN, especially with the East Asian countries, related to the benefits that will be received by Indonesian people from the cooperation. Indonesian people are expected to support the state defense program being carried out by the government. The program is meant to increase the nationalism and discipline of the people. It is expected to have more participants every year. Vice President Yusuf Kala received several executive directors of the World Bank on Tuesday to discuss a loan over to alleviate poverty. World Bank Executive Director for Germany, Ursula Müller, said at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday that she appreciated the chance to hold discussion with Vice President Yusuf Kalla about the challenges and opportunities for Indonesia continuing its cooperation with the World Bank. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said while visiting the Tanah Abang market in central Jakarta with President Joko Widodo that Australia welcomed Indonesia's plan to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership TPP. The Indonesian Ulama Council MUI ended its three-day National Working Congress on Tuesday in Jakarta by urging President Joko Widodo to fulfill his campaign pledge made towards the struggle for Palestinians. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli said on Tuesday that Indonesia wants to be treated fairly by foreign investors, including mining company Freeport McMoRan Incorporation, with regard to the exploitation of its natural resources. Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Adi Supandi received his Chinese counterpart Admiral Wu Seng Li, who came to pay a courtesy call at the Navy headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta, on Tuesday. Indonesian government will build two dams in West Java as part of its efforts to control floods in Jakarta. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono stated on Tuesday that the two dams called Sukamahi and Ciawi will be built in 2016. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we would like to invite you to visit one place in West Sumatra. So if you're interested, stay tuned. Listener, Lembah Anai Sanctuary is one of the protected forests in West Sumatra Province. This area is a very wide tropical forest with various flora and fauna inside. Moreover, this sanctuary has three waterfalls and one lake. These waterfalls are located in the western part of Lembah Anai Sanctuary. One of them, located at the roadside, is Lembah Anai Waterfall. While the other two are covered by the thick forest, making them unknown to many. Listener, the Lembah Anai Waterfall is a tourism icon in Padang. The location is on the side of the Trans-Sumatra Road, which connect Padang and Bukit Tinggi. More precisely, in Nagari Singgalang, 10 Koto District, Tanah Datar Regency, West Sumatra. The water of this waterfall comes from Singgalang Mount. The clear water flows throughout the hills and valley, even passing the Lembah Anai Sanctuary, before it reaches the cliff edge. From the cliff, the water falls for 50 meters into the valley floor and forms a basin. situated on the roadside does not reduce the beauty of the waterfall, because the mouth of it is higher than the road. Its clear and fresh water makes anybody want to enjoy it. Besides swimming, many tourists also take pictures. After enjoying the Lembahane waterfall, please do not miss the beauty of a lake in Lembahane Sanctuary. From the waterfall, the lake only takes 15-minute trip. Listener, Lembahane Waterfall is located 60 km from Padang. To reach it, you can take public transport, hire a car, or bring your own vehicle. The trip takes 1.5 to 2 hours. Along the way, you will pass the winding roads with breathtaking scenery around. On your right and your left, you can see the green valley and hills. By the way, entering Lembahane Tourism Area, you must pay 3,000 rupiah per person. But you will not be disappointed because the area has various facilities such as restaurant, bathroom, and parking lot. Well, listener, that's a glimpse about Lembahane Waterfall in Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today, we present you the story of Princess Ong Tian. Listener, history of kingdoms in Indonesia in the past proves that Chinese culture took part in enriching Indonesian culture until now. Besides, through friendship between the two countries, marriage with Chinese beautiful princesses also connects Indonesia and China. Princess Ong Tian Neo from Ming Dynasty was determined to unite her love with Sunan Gunung Jati. She was willing to travel through the sea, carrying 7 ships with 100 troops and special equipment. There were also 2 ships carrying jewelry, clothes, ceramic, and other souvenirs for Sunan Gunung Jati on Java Island. She had one hope only, making Sunan Gunung Jati wanted to marry her. Princess Ong Tian, the daughter of Empress Hongyi, met Sunan for the first time in 1479 when Sunan Gunung Jati visited China, which is known for its medical treatment. Besides learning medicine, Sunan Gunung Jati also spread Islam. His ability to heal sick people in China made Chinese Empress curious that invited him to the palace. Sunan then met the invitation of the Empress. In a party, the Empress invited his daughter, Ong Tian Neo, and her pregnant sister. Princess Ong Tian herself is a critical person who is good at calligraphy and Chinese philosophy. Love then came at the first sight. 2-month sea journey, the love of Princess Ong Tien was not one-sided love. Sunan Gunung Jati and Putri Ong Tien, who has converted to Islam, finally married in 1481. She became the second wife of Sunan. They then lived in Cirebon, where Sunan Gunung Jati established Istana Pakungwati Palace. Princess Ong Tien, who had the title as Nyi Ratu Laras Sumandi, doesn't have a long life. Not long after giving birth to her son named Adipati Awangga, or Pangeran Kuningan, she got sick. Laras Sumanding accompanied her husband for 2 years only. At the age of 23, she passed away and she was buried at Gunung Sembung, precisely in Astana Gunung Jati.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, on Music Corner that introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's Dangdut edition, we present you Indonesian dangdut singers who were popular in 2000s, namely Uut Permatasari. Well, listener, to begin our show, let's listen to a song by Uut Permatasari entitled Putri Panggung, or Princess of Stage. Happy listening.
Putri
Listener, you are still listening to the Dangdut edition of Music Corner, and you just listened to a song by Uut Permatasari entitled Putri Panggung. The song tells the story about Sinden, or Javanese traditional singer, who sings from one stage to another. Uut Permatasari, whose real name is Utami Suryaningsih, was born in Sidoarjo, April 7, 1982. She is a dangdut singer who is popular for her ngecor dance. Well, listener, before we move on, let's enjoy a song by Uut Permatasari with Astaga or Oh My Gosh. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
listener, Uud Permatasari, who loves singing, and he often won various competitions from district level to the regency level, also loves practicing vocal, dancing ballet, and traditional dance like Yapong. No wonder that her body is flexible on stage. To develop her career, Uut moved to Jakarta in 2003, and she rose to fame through a song Putri Panggung, and she became a mascot in a TV show in one of private TV stations. Besides being busy as a presenter as well, Uut also still perform from one stage to another, even to the neighboring country Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Korea. Well, listener, to end our program, here are two songs by Uut Permatasari called Sejumlah Untukku and Terlalu Sayang. Happy listening to the songs, and I'll see you again in another Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.